blogging at war. At the age of 26, Colby Bazell was living with his parents, burning through an assortment of minimum wage jobs, smoking 4 packs of cigarettes a day, drinking heavily, and doing drugs. Then he signed up for the Army, and in a few short months found himself behind a machine gun in Iraq.
They were hunched down, hiding behind a stack of truck tires. I placed the crosshairs right on him and was about to waste him. For some reason, I didn't pull the trigger. Something told me I should wait for just one, maybe two more seconds. Then I saw another guy come creeping around that corner with an RPG in his hands. As soon as I saw that, I screamed as loud as I could, RPG! My crosshairs were bouncing all over, so I gathered my composure as fast as I could, put the crosshairs on him, and engaged him with a couple good 10-round bursts of some 50 cal right at him. Nobody moved from behind those tires after that.
Colby Bazell began writing about his experiences on his blog, My War, which he later turned into a book. You just heard an excerpt from it. That was in 2005. This week, My War, Killing Time in Iraq, won the second annual Blücher Prize, an award given for a book that first began as a blog on the Internet. If you have questions for Colby Bazell about his time in Iraq, if you've read his blog or his book, give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. And Colby Bazell joins us now from the studios of member station KQED in San Francisco. Welcome and congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
So there you were drifting through life. What made you decide to sign up for the Army, especially when you, of course, knew we were in the middle of a war?
Well, I heard the Army was hiring. And at the time, it was we were in Afghanistan, but we weren't in Iraq yet. And I was going absolutely nowhere. And I just decided to join the Army. If anything, I could say I finally did something with myself. I mean, I felt like I never did achieve that, so I decided to join the Army, and hopefully I went into it hoping to be deployed and to go to Iraq.
Mm-hmm. I think it'd be fair to describe you as not the usual recruit.
Very far from the Norman Rockwell image of the American soldier, yeah.
And I wonder, as you got to know the guys in your unit and the guys in basic and all of that, how did you fit in with them?
I just did. Everyone came from different backgrounds, different states, some from different countries. And, you know, you just share a common bond. Everyone joined the Army for whatever reason, but everyone joined for the same reason. So you just you have that bond and you have close friendships and you're always around each other. So, yeah, some of the best friends I ever made was in the military.
You carried a copy of, at one point, of Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five in your back pocket, and we're reading that. I suspect it wasn't the same kind of literature that most of your fellow soldiers were reading.
Some were. I mean, there was some soldiers in my platoon who were very literate and always read books. Most people read magazines, Maxim being the popular ones.
Mm-hmm.
You have a wide variety of people that are in the military.
Kind of like America, huh?
Correct.
Yeah. And let's get some callers on the line with you. By the way, as I understand it, you never had knew anything about blogs until you were in the Army and in Iraq.
Correct. I subscribed to Time magazine, and there was an article called Mutual Blog. And there was a brief mention in there about how there was a handful of soldiers in Iraq doing these things called blogs. And after the article, I went to the Internet Cafe, took a look at these blogs, and just decided right there and then to do one.
Hmm. And you said you've described it in the title of your book as well, To Kill Time.
Well, at first, it was out of boredom. I needed something to do between missions, but then it became a therapeutic thing for me to do is to immediately go and sit in front of a keyboard and just write about, you know, I would just sort of talk to myself and just write about my thoughts and what I was experiencing and seeing. And then, you know, once I started hanging out at the Internet cafes, I started noticing how the news and the media were reporting the war. And that kind of got me a little bit of upset, and that became a partial reason why I blogged later on.
You've also said that, you know, if somebody asked you now, 2 years out, to write a book about the war, you wouldn't know where to begin. There's a lot of immediacy in your writing on the blog.
Correct. I've heard, you know, that there's people that have taken 10, 20 years to write their memoir, and I have no idea how they could pull that off. I mean, when you get out of the military and back from the war, the last thing you want to do is think about the war or look back on it. You want to move on. And I couldn't write a book about Iraq now.
800-989-8255 if you'd like to join our conversation with Colby Bazell, the author of My War, Killing Time in Iraq. 800-989-TALK. Let's start with Nathan calling us from Grand Rapids in Michigan.
Hi, I was just reading in the paper the other day that the Defense Department is limiting soldiers' access to YouTube and MySpace to cut down on blogging about the war. I'm wondering what the author has, feels about this and freedom of speech that the Defense Department's cutting out.
I don't think there is such thing with freedom of speech if you're in uniform. You hear about the Vietnam War being the first televised war, and this war with the internet and soldiers posting pretty much in real time blog posts and videos. I think this war is being brought home to a lot of people in America, as an alternative to the media is the internet to find out about the war. And if you look historically, the military and the government's always like to have a strict control over what gets released back to the American people. And with the internet, it's kind of hard. It's kind of difficult to monitor that. So I think their solution is just to blame it on bandwidth and to say that, soldiers can't do it.
The explanation was they're restricting bandwidth and this is causing problems. You're not buying that.
I laughed out loud when I read that. I don't know that much about computers. I don't know if that's the case, but I find that kind of a little bit hard to believe.
Convenient in any case.
Correct.
Yeah. Nathan, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Did you get into trouble from the military when you started writing your blog?
Nothing severe. I was threatened with an Article 15 at one point. I was confined to base for X amount of days. With my blog, I was counseled several times on what to post and what not to post, and I had to have a platoon sergeant or higher read my writing before posting on the internet. At the same time, I understood the military's concerns. If one soldier even gets hurt or wounded off of anything that somebody posts on the internet, it's not worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Blogs, I mean, the enemy, these videos, I mean, they're looking at it a different way. It gives out weapons capabilities, how you do maneuvers, how many troops, the equipment used. It's a picture says 1,000 words, and there's a lot of information that could be given away through these videos. So I understand a little bit of the military's concerns mm-hmm. about that.
Let's talk with Kevin. Kevin with us from Millville in New Jersey.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Long-time listener.
Good.
Actually, I'm sorry, I have not read your book or your blog. I'm not too computer literate. I'm interested in your book, but you just mentioned how you did not like the way the news was representing the war. And I'm curious, being I'm here and I only really hear our media, I try to get as many news outlets as I possibly can, but I'd love you to expand upon that.
I think the media, they just report either from when I was there and what I saw was just cut and paste from the Army press releases. They would just look at the Army press releases and report them as fact. Several times I would look at the Army press releases right after a mission that I was on, and it was it read like a work of fiction and the complete opposite of what I experienced and saw that day. And if you read the papers, it's always these small little blurbs of one soldier gets killed, 20 injured, and then that's mm-hmm. it. And you don't really know what really happened that day, what went on. And over time, after reading countless stories like that, you become a little desensitized to the war. And
It's not easy for reporters to get to the war itself.
Correct. When I was there was a lot of them being beheaded and captured and hurt. And I've been back for 2 years. I'm under the impression that people here are kind of sick of hearing about the war.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really, it might be newsworthy, but it's my impression is people are kind of sick of hearing about it.
Hmm.
Thank you very much.
Kevin, thanks for the call. As you're now a consumer back here, what do you find helpful? What do you find interesting? What do you find useful?
Well, I no longer drive a car. I'm sick of paying X amount of dollars for gas, so I don't own a vehicle. That's my way of, back. I just pretty much hang out.
Mm-hmm. But do you look, is there any particular sources you go to for information about what's going on in Iraq or Afghanistan?
No, it's kind of, I try not to pay too much attention to it. When I came back, I went to the VA hospital for, just to get my head checked out. And the advice I was given was stay away from drugs and alcohol and whatever you do is stop paying attention to the war. So I try not to follow up on it as much as I can. But it's kind of difficult because every time you watch TV or go on the internet, it's like you find yourself trying to find out what's going on over there, but it's been hard.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing now?
Right now, I'm just freelancing. I write a lot for Esquire. They've been real helpful for with me. You know, they've given me several freelance assignments. I've been writing for them since I've been back.
And I wonder, whatever it was that made you decide to go into the Army, do you think you found it?
Yeah, I think I did. Hopefully, I found what I wanted to do, and so far writing hasn't been, you know, it's not that bad of a job, so I wouldn't mind pursuing that.
Yeah, inside work, no heavy lifting.
Correct.
as you look back on your time in Iraq, there's certainly traumatic moments, but as you suggest, and I think as anybody with any experience of combat has ever written about, is long stretches of boredom interrupted by moments of sheer terror.
Correct. The whole time there, I mean, whenever I think about Iraq, I always think about how bored I was over there. The whole time over there, I just wanted to come home. It just felt like the days would go on, and they would never end, kind of thing. And, you know, the whole time there, you're just looking forward to coming home.
If you found someone in your situation, as your situation was before you went in, would you recommend that they sign up?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot. I get a lot of emails from high school students who read the book, and they want my opinion for whatever reason to join the Army. And I always think of how I was before the Army. I don't think anybody would have talked me out of it. If somebody did try to talk me out of it, and my father, who did 20 years in the military, even tried to talk me out of it, all it did was fuel the fire for me to join. So I just tell them it's a personal decision. You got to figure out for yourself, and I can't provide you with the answers for it.
Let's see if we get one last caller in. This is Ben. Ben with us from Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, Neil, first-time caller,
long-time
listener. That's such a cliche. I, too, was a soldier in Iraq at the time of the writer. And, I mean, I think that the fact that we had the Army Times, which is a publication that's non-military related, and I think it was a vehicle that provided news in a very accurate way and not biased towards the military. I just want to get the author's opinion about that.
I never really read the Army Times, so I can't really comment on it. I mean, I flipped through it at the PX, but never purchased one.
Hmm. And Ben, do you share Colby Bazell's experience of since coming back, you really don't want to pay attention to the war?
No. I still follow it. I mean, I read the news every day. I too visit the VA. I don't think that you know. I think the hardest part was, like he said, the drugs and alcohol. That's probably the first thing you want to do. You know, but I think that's a problem over there. I mean, I think that's kind of being glossed over also.
Well, Ben, good luck to you, and thanks very much for the call.
Thank you very much.
All right, and Colby Bazell, good luck with your career in journalism.
Thank you.
Colby Bazell won the second annual Blücher Prize this week for his book, My War, Killing Time in Iraq. You can find a link to his blog on our website, npr.org/talk. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.